Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for May 1st, 2022. Hey, Karen, are you ready to go?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, no problem. So Karen, wonderful cash flow cat who offers writing, coaching, and workshops. Coaching and workshops to writers. And you yourself are a writer and a screenwriter as well. So the first question is kind of around the mindset. And you wrote that you're feeling overwhelmed, or you were feeling overwhelmed. So you listed out all of the jobs that you're doing as a solopreneur. And you'd like help with an attitude adjustment so this feels more sustainable. And some of what you wrote, and you detailed the activities you do for each of these things, multiple activities for each category: workshop designer, facilitator, coach, brand ambassador, marketing, finance, onboarding and customer service, copywriter, graphic designer, videographer, virtual assistant, supervisor. And then all the admin stuff. I tell you, I don't think there is anyone alive with a side business or a full-time business, any kind of solo entrepreneurship, creating cash flow, who hasn't at some point or multiple times written a list like this, or had a day where it's like, this is impossible. There are so many moving parts to this thing. Mm-hmm. And that's true. Like, I'm not going to sit here and go like, no, just creating cash flow. It's fun. It's easy. It's a job. It's an activity. It's work. The reason you do it is because it's more palatable work than other work. Mm-hmm. And so this is the work that you've chosen to do to create in exchange for money while you're waiting for your more artistic work to bring in money. Yeah. So I feel the feelings here. And I want to hear first kind of where you're at now that you kind of had that day and wrote the list and thought about it a bit more. Like, where are you at with it all?
I think I need an HR department too. So I just need, you know, I know this is a job and I know this is what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I just need an attitude refresh about it.
Mm-hmm. And what is the attitude? Because being overwhelmed isn't an attitude. It's a feeling. Mm-hmm.
I think the attitude would, some attitude that would help me approach overwhelm in a way that, oh, that's just overwhelm. So here we go.
Yeah. And I'm asking you, were you able to get out of this feeling? Were there thoughts and stories you used to already get yourself out of this feeling? Or are you still like in the thick of it right now?
Well, I'm quite slowed down. So I'm not, I would be fired. That's where it is.
As an employee.
Yeah, as all of these people.
You're out. Right. Okay. So from the bigger picture perspective, when you're feeling heavy around all of the things, because I feel that way too sometimes, you know, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. I've got these big projects and they all seem to be needing to be done simultaneously or yesterday, mm-hmm. kind of thing. So to counter the approach that doesn't work, I just want to make sure everyone listening understand. So the approach that doesn't work is if you sort of deny the realness of the feelings and just go to, oh, but I'm just going to make a gratitude list and I'm so lucky about this and it's okay. And I'm so, you know, just kind of go straight to positivity, mm-hmm. which seems kind of logical. I'm feeling bad. So maybe if I just pump up some better feeling thoughts, that'll take care of it. And I just can live there into the positivity, but that's a big jump to make. So what we want to do is to acknowledge and live with, and don't necessarily trying to just sweep under the rug the negative thoughts or the overwhelm thoughts. We just want to also bring into the conversation some thoughts that kind of balance out the other thoughts, because the overwhelm is real, but there's other thoughts that are also just as real. And when you have the realness of opposing thoughts, what that actually does is just get you to a more neutral place. Mm-hmm. From that neutral place where you feel like, okay, I'm not so overwhelmed. I'm still not super convinced. I feel great about this, but I feel a little bit better. And then from that more neutral space, we can start going, okay, how do I need to rearrange things? How do I need to delegate things? How do I need to just cut things out of the picture? Like, how can I make more space? So on the emotional side, we're going to talk about two things, Karen. On the emotional side, we're going to talk about neutralizing with bringing in some other thoughts. And on the strategic side, when you're feeling overwhelmed and like maxed out, and these are all my jobs and I cannot believe I have to do them all, what you need is more space. So we're going to talk a little bit about how to add some space. So, because space is what brings you back to a place where it feels manageable and okay. But first I want to talk about the emotional thing. So give me some very true and very believable counter thoughts to like, this is crazy. This is nuts. I'm so overwhelmed. I'm not really great at some of these things. Why do I have to do them? I wish I didn't have to. I wish I had enough money to have a staff, like all those thoughts. So what are some thoughts on the other end of the scale?
Well, just thinking about what you're saying, this is really helpful. And I'm thinking about how when I felt this way in the past, it's usually because I need more information and I would really like to see further down the road. So that kind of leads into my second question, which is I want to see what I am building towards and have a better sense. If I have a sense of that, then it doesn't feel like I'm hamster wheeling so much. I think it's getting repetitive for me, and I don't do well with repetitive. I need it to be, feel like it's building and everything that I'm doing is progressing towards something bigger.
Yeah.
So I think that's a thing that's causing the, you know, me to make these lists. Is that I'm feeling that the activities have had the feeling of being, even though I'm doing different videos and different topics, it's feeling repetitive. The shape of it is too repetitive for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that you just described a wonderful point in that when you are feeling overwhelmed on the treadmill, you're feeling that down in the weeds. That is where we feel those feelings, down in the weeds of all the tasks and the repetition and the hamster wheel. And the antidote to that is to pull up and start looking at things from the bigger picture perspective. Mm-hmm. The vision, what am I building towards? How is what I'm doing now going to impact what I want, you know, to be doing? How is this a step towards where I want to go? The big picture perspective. And I really think that in order for a solopreneur not to get extremely overwhelmed and discouraged is we have to keep zooming up and then going back down into the weeds and then zoom out to the big picture perspective and go back. Sometimes I'm doing that multiple times a day. Mm-hmm. Okay, because the vision is inspiring and the vision makes me feel like it's possible, but staying down in the weeds all the time can just feel like, what am I doing? What is this? It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So good that you see that it's the vision that is compelling and understanding this is building onto this, which will build onto this, and I'm going somewhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there'll be a payoff for all the work. Because that's another thing that's difficult is when you are working on something, especially something that's longer term, there's not a lot of immediate gratification mm-hmm. for a lot of work that you're doing. And with side businesses, cash flow projects, and things like that, there usually are periods where you're putting in a lot of work and not having any instant gratification. And then there's parts where there's more like, woo, things are happening and flowing, or I got an enrollment, or I got some new clients. But mm-hmm. then there'll be another period where it's like, oh, okay, long-term gratification only here.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So the emotion to counteract the overwhelm is like, yeah, but this is actually leading somewhere. And I don't have to do this all along. And I am choosing to do this. Like no one is forcing me mm-hmm. to do any of this. And the only reason I have so many jobs is because I'm trying to do really good things that are slightly ambitious. Mm-hmm. So I've got all the social media and the videos and the things and the, yeah, because I'm working at that level and that's what's at that level. You know, thoughts are like more encouraging, more reasonable, more like, yeah, this is it, but this is my crazy choice here in life. And I'm so happy I have that choice. Mm-hmm. And it's better than roofing houses or cleaning sewers. So those
piece mm-hmm. that I, oh, another piece that I would like to encourage is that I feel like it's building towards something that I can't see yet, that I'm really not able to see yet. And so a certain amount of this is faith-based mm-hmm. going forward, that this is not that there's necessarily going to be a payoff, but there's going to be some culmination where the idea exists down the road from where I am. And I just don't have what I will need to have to see it. It's just will show up later. And mm-hmm. so having to generate and maintain that faith is also.
Yeah. That is mental energy and emotional energy to build that muscle of trust and faith of like, okay, I'm feeling being called to do this. So I'm just going to walk in that direction, but I don't know really what's out there yet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I call those periods to a greater or lesser degree, being in the fog where mm-hmm. it's like, I'm not clear yet, but I just feel this is the where I should be moving towards. Mm-hmm. So yeah, sometimes life is foggy like that. It is. Okay. In conjunction then with this question is your second question, which is about, you said, I'm almost halfway through creating a year-long writing program and you'd like to have an idea of what's next on the trajectory and how you can build on what you're creating to generate more revenue. So clarify that for me a little bit, because you're creating a year-long writing program and wouldn't that be a revenue generator for you in an increased way?
I mean, it's topped out at in its current iteration. And so I would need a different iteration going forward, like after I create it, for it to generate more.
And are you talking about the thing you're sort of doing by like seasons? And so you're saying you're in the middle of like, you're teaching it as well as you create it.
Right.
But then at the end of the year, you're going to have this whole year long program. Are you going to enroll people for a year at a higher price point though? I mean, is that the goal, to have a commitment for a year at a higher price point?
I think I would like to be able to work with more people and maybe make it a higher price point, but have more sessions running instead of just once a week, have another group that meets another day, and, you know, just multiple small groups.
Okay. So that would mean more people.
Yeah, I know we've talked about this. Okay. This is back to marketing and list building. Yes.
Yeah. And right now, when you've looked back at the first kind of quarter of the year, and we're kind of a third of the way through the second quarter of the year. So in the last like 4 months, if you were to kind of guesstimate, what do you think is the ratio between the time you're spending on things that are building the program and delivering the program versus finding new people?
Okay. Very small percentage doing social media or finding new people. Most of it is devoted to just maintaining and creating what I'm doing.
Yeah. And the creating what you're doing isn't, I'm not saying that's bad, but that is your comfort zone. Creating and delivering a writing program is your comfort zone. You can totally do that. You know, you can do that.
That's, I've been not so sure lately.
Is it going well? Are your students happy?
Yes, but it's this, you know, in this fog now, it doesn't look, because I'm slowed down, I'm behind on creating, and I'm, you know, I'm wanting to see ahead so that I can be energized.
Yeah.
To create. It's not a lazy boy situation to make up these workshops.
No. So this is a really good thing. So you're now into your second session of four that comprise this year-long thing. Mm-hmm. And you've designed it in a certain way and promised a certain amount of deliverables. Mm-hmm. And you find yourself overwhelmed and behind.
Now,
so I would say to you, maybe you need to revise the structure of it, certainly for session three and session four, but maybe even session two, if possible, of like, oh, you know what? I thought we were going to do it this way, but I think we're going to do it this way.
And what thoughts do you have when you're talking about revising structure? Does anything come to mind?
Well, where are you falling behind? Like, I've promised a video every single week, and I'm just, you know, every single week I'm like getting that video out by the skin of my teeth. Like, maybe you can't do a video. That's not every single week. That's not sustainable for you. Ideally, that sounds great in terms of a structure of a program, but maybe you just aren't able to do that. And what if you just made up the structure of this class. You made it up. So you can remake it and adjust it. It's not set in stone.
No.
Yeah.
I'm making two videos a month. And that's what's going to constitute having the program as
a product.
Right.
And so not making those, then I would not have a product.
Okay. Are there other things that you're doing now that you could, whether it's inside the program itself or outside of the program, that you're doing that you don't necessarily have to be doing right now that would just free up some space for you to get back on track?
I can take a look at that. I think maybe what I'll do is like that list. I can just list all the aspects of the workshop and see what I can shift.
Yeah. Because it does come down to, there's two main things from my point of view for you to accomplish this year. One is finishing the creation of this material. Because then you can run the year-long thing without having to create any videos. They're already made.
Right.
There's that. But then there's also finding new pockets of people that you can introduce yourself to and draw into your world so that when you're ready to sell this thing again, you have people to sell to. New people to sell to. So those are two important and massive projects. Those are big projects. So I would then say to you, I would examine every single other thing you have in your life and be like, well, what can go? What can be backburnered this year? What are all the other things I think I want to do this year that are going to steal time away from this? I don't mean things that also fill you up. Like, you can have some fun. I'm not saying like everything else goes and it's only this. I'm talking about like within the businessy career side of your whole life, you're going to need to strip some stuff away. All the excess, and within the course, anything else that kind of really takes your time away. Because the first place I'd want to look is, are your expectations of what you think you can achieve with the amount of time and energy and resources that you have, is that bar too high? Do we need to lower the bar to give you more space so that you actually enjoy what you're doing when you're doing it? Because when you are running the show of your life, right now, you are the one putting all your personal stuff on the calendar. You're the one putting all of your creative career stuff on the calendar. And you're the one putting all of your side biz business stuff on the calendar. You're doing all of it. So the trapped, kind of overwhelmed feeling is of your own creation.
Right.
Which is good news, because you have all the power in the world to start going, okay, some of this needs to be reconfigured. Maybe you were a little too ambitious at the beginning of the year, but then also sometimes our plans are great, but then like you had last year, your shoulder injury, it was like, whoa, everything needs to be looked at differently. Because now I have even less mobility and less time and energy.
Right.
So this is a ruthless stripping away of stuff to give you space so you can find the pleasure in this again. It's not worth doing if it's not pleasurable.
Right.
And the idea of, yeah, I mean, we don't have to have this discussion again, but everything filters back for me with you, to your hesitancy around finding clients who can commit to a higher price point, so that you can have intimate work with committed people who are paying you well. It's within your grasp, but there's something I feel like, and I could be wrong, but there's, I feel like there's something in you that's just like, I don't believe that that is possible for me.
I think it, what I can think of that it might have to do with is that I'm already serving these people, you know, and it's not a small amount of money. I think I would also be wanting value for this amount of money. And so I would just have to find a whole new set, and maybe next year would be good, or in one of these new quarters. And so what would be a good percentage of time that you think is healthy to devote to marketing and finding new people, percentage of the energy?
At least 40, if not 50.
Okay.
Because, and this is about really, really going, I don't want the same type of people. I want a slightly more committed, elevated, I'm not saying these people are bad in any way. I'm just saying it's a type of mindset in your client that's like, oh, I want to do this because I'm ready to go, and I want to do it with her, and she's so great, and she's got this whole thing. I'm ready. Here's money. Money's not the problem for me. Finding the right teacher is the problem for me. But once I find it, I've got the money to put forth. So it's really about not, I'm not talking about 40% of your time doing social media posts. I'm talking about 40% of your time finding new pockets of writers who are out there looking for an intensive, immersive, year-long experience. And having conversations with people who have audiences that they can expose you to and introduce you to about why this is such an important experience for a writer to have, a year-long immersive experience. Let's talk about that.
Well, one opportunity that I have is, I don't know if you're familiar with the Esalen Institute in Big Sur, but they are starting to do virtual workshops. And so I'm putting together a pitch to do, because I have more cred with doing something virtual. I'd love to do something live there.
Yeah.
But that would be a way of reaching other people.
Yes. Yes. And these are people who Esalen, people like to invest in their self-development.
Right. That, so that's something that I'm also working on. And with that, I think in terms of where to post, I think LinkedIn just feels like it has the most potential.
Yeah, we've talked about how your clientele, you know, people who have that book in them or have that thing in them that they're just wanting to get out before they die. And they have the money.
Yeah.
So kind of sniffing around LinkedIn, what are people posting other stuff about writing? Like, who else is out there? What's going on? You might also check out groups like Revel, R-E-V-E-L, .com is a free group that you can join. And once you're a member, you can do workshops, you can, or events. They can be one-off, they can be a series of, and it can be things that you teach or things that you coach or just discussion groups. Some people just have, like, there's just a whole bunch of things, and it's all for women, I think over the age of 40, if I'm not mistaken, but going in and, you know, being active and talking, meeting people. I'm in there doing stuff around caregiving. Uh-huh. And the first thing I did was like, who else is doing caregiving stuff? And there were these two women and they were doing workshops. So I attended the workshops to see like, how are they doing it? How would I be different than that? You know, to sort of see where I fit.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's definitely writing stuff up there, but it's like, where would you fit in there?
Mm-hmm.
And just, and there's many groups like this that cater to women or people later, you know, in life.
Mm-hmm.
Money may not be their problem, but self-development and, you know, spending time on their passions are maybe where they're at. So it's,
I haven't heard of that. That's great.
It's like going out, thinking outside of the boxes that you've already looked at. And it's like, who are my potential clients? And it might be that people who want this adventure and who want to invest in their writing and who want to kind of go, I've always wanted to do this, but I've never really done it. So I'm going to throw a couple $1,000 at this woman and work with her for a year. That sounds fun.
Well, I will check that out. Are they paid workshops or it's free because everyone's a member?
Most of them are free, but there are some paid. Mm-hmm. But they're very minimal paid.
Mm-hmm.
Ones that are free, you're not supposed to solicit. It's not like you can be like, hey, sign up for my thing. But mm-hmm. if people like you, they go to your profile and they can find your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just an opportunity for you to expose yourself to other people, new groups of people.
Oh, I have not. Yes, I will check that out. I love hearing about things like that I have not heard of.
Because
that's great.
I can't make this, I'm not prescribing this because we haven't sat down and I can't get in the nitty gritty of like all the things you're doing to make, but I would say if you only have a limited amount of time, stop posting on social media and start finding groups of people that you might be able to get, you know, people on your list from.
Mm-hmm.
Good, like LinkedIn, but not just posting on LinkedIn, but actually figuring out, okay, what does LinkedIn have to offer me? How do I find the people? How do I talk to the people I want to talk to? Where are some of these women's groups? Are there other kind of like groups and people, podcasts that I could be a guest on, like mm-hmm. bigger stuff.
Okay.
Rather than, I mean, it's great that you send out an email, a newsletter. It's fine that you post on social media, but that's your own little echo chamber. I don't think they mm-hmm. need much nurturing. Mm-hmm. So maybe decreasing some of that and increasing these new places.
Okay.
And then 60% of your time delivering and building this course. And if there's anything you can pull out of what you have to do for it every single week, and even more importantly, maybe you just have to do what you promised you were going to deliver for this current section, mm-hmm. but maybe you redesign what you're offering or you offer a few less things going forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's some stuff to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think also what will help with you getting out of the fog and kind of seeing what's possible for you is if you start to get some new people on your list and you start mm-hmm. to get new ideal clients responding to you, it will make you even more excited to finish this thing and then relaunch it as a year-long thing.
Right. Yeah. It feels like a closed loop right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. I can see that. That'd be great. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for showing up. Regina. Mm-mm.
Hello.
Good to see you.
Hi.
Okay. So Regina is a cash flow cat and her side biz is Peaceful Pets, Reiki and Crystal for Pets. Reiki and crystal healing for pets and their humans and the spaces they share. So you had a question. You say you usually charge time and a half on any day or night that falls on a holiday. But then you're like, oh, what constitutes a holiday? Just the major holidays? What about Halloween? What about Mother's Day? What about Easter? That kind of stuff. And you're worried that maybe charging for every single holiday will feel a little nickel and dimey to people. What should you do? And I definitely think you should decide and then definitely list the holidays on your website. It can be in fine print, you know, but they're there. And then when you have a new client, do you give them like a PDF or a piece of paper that just is like your little agreement of like, hey, this is how I roll. This is what I charge. This is how everything goes. These are the dates that are more expensive because it's a holiday.
No, but that sounds like something I should have.
Yeah, it's just a one. They don't have to sign it even. It's just like, here's how Peaceful Pets roll. All the information you would ever need. Some of this doesn't apply to what you're hiring me for now, but if you hire me in the future, you'll have it. So I just want you to have it. They can throw it away, but you've legally given it to them. And so then nothing has to be like a surprise.
Yeah, I have these. I mean, I usually tell my clients if it's around the bigger holidays, I mention it beforehand.
Oh, just yeah. Reminder, you should also totally do that.
Reminder. Mm-hmm. I usually do that. Mm-hmm. And so, yes. Anyways, I don't know if, do I count these other holidays?
So here's how you decide. You actually already answered your question when you're writing to me. Because you're like, I'm trying to figure out where the line is for me. Oh, wait, where did you write this? This is, I realize these aren't big deal holidays. But then if I'm pet sitting those days, it limits what I can do to celebrate or travel or do what I want to do. Yeah, that's what it's about. Choosing which holidays, I would choose them decide based upon what actually impacts you. So even though you may not celebrate Easter, if you're like, oh, but that's like kind of a holiday, so it could be a weekend that I have off, or it could be a weekend that I'd want to go out of town unless I was getting time and a half tonight.
Right.
Base it all on you.
Okay.
Some people love Halloween.
Yeah.
And if you're one of those people who like, I love Halloween. I love celebrating it. I love Halloween weekend. Like I'm all into Halloween. So if I'm working, I want to get time and a half. Whereas other people might be like, I don't give two shits about Halloween. So I don't need to include it on my holiday list. You could include your birthday on your holiday list, by the way.
Yeah.
Or you just don't work on your birthday, you know? So I want you to make a list that is in alignment with your life. I want everyone here to build side businesses. Just like I said with Karen, you're creating literally all the rules. So why not design it around your life? It's one of the biggest benefits of creating your own income. Because if you have a job for somebody, you don't get to decide.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of the benefits. Is you get to decide the flow of your life around your work.
You know, I don't know if I would, if like certain holidays are important to me, because I'm usually just like, what? Someone wants to hire me? Okay, I'll take it. I don't care. So then I've dumbed down that hot, like, well, who cares? Because I'm not going to be able to celebrate anyway. It's just a regular day. So I don't even know what is important to me.
Yeah. And another way to look at it, if you're kind of like, well, maybe the criteria of how to make this decision isn't what holidays are important to me. Mm. Maybe the criteria is, well, by doing time and a half on holidays, it just gives me several bumps in the year of cash if anybody happens to book. And what if you say to yourself, okay, there's 12 months in a year. So I'm going to include 12 times, 12 occasions when maybe I could get this little cash bump.
Okay.
and they don't all, it's just 12 in a year. It doesn't have to be one a month. Right. And then you just pick the 12 occasions and list them on your website.
Yep.
Or you can say, maybe I only want six. So pick six, but base it on that and quote unquote opportunity for a cash bump rather than how does this holiday mean? What does it mean to me and my family? Yeah, maybe that's not the criteria.
Okay. Well, I, in that case, to me, I feel like every holiday should be, I mean, yeah, well, they're going out of town. And the reason they're able to travel for those holidays is because I'm not.
Yes. Now you're thinking. Now your business brain is working. I like it. Okay. Yeah.
Heck yeah. I did have that feeling on Easter. I was like, oh, it's Easter. Well, we could have. Okay. Huh. Okay. Thank you.
They get to decide. I can hear someone listening to this conversation right now going, oh, but that's not being fair to them. And it's like putting a burden on them.
Yeah.
Doing something unfair to them, to the client. No. Why? Because the client gets to decide. If they don't want to pay time and a half for you, there's other people out there.
Right.
They're not going to be left in the lurch with their poor pets. Denying their vacation. No, no, no. You're just going, oh, well, here's how it is for me. But, you know, they know they're welcome to find somebody else. Yeah. You just have to keep reminding yourself you're not the only game in town.
Right.
Yeah. Eventually, they're not going to be able to have you at all. So they should definitely pay time and a half while they get Queen Regina over here healing their pets. My God. Take advantage of it. But put it on your website, decide, list it on your website, write up a one-page agreement.
Okay.
It doesn't even have to say the word agreement. It's just sort of like, here's the policies for peaceful pets policies. Okay.
And that's like a PDF.
Sure. That you can just email them. Mm-hmm. And then I just keep some copies in your car and hand them to new clients.
Okay.
It's always good to hand them a piece of paper. Because then you both know when, because they can easily forget to open a PDF or look at an email or whatever.
Okay.
Like, here's a piece of paper. Okay. So your second question, I'm going to read this for context. So the following is about my acting career. To go FICOR or not FICOR, that's the question. I have a manager who was the only manager to show interest a year ago when I reached out to reps. And ever since then, she's gotten me a lot of non-union commercial auditions and she's hustled for me. But even when I voice that I really don't want to do non-union, she says, oh, I respect that. And things go quiet for a bit. And then she starts submitting me for them again. And then she's like, oh, just take them. You'll meet the casting directors and then don't do the jobs. But you're like, yeah, but I don't want to piss off these casting directors by saying, you know, I'm available. I'm here. I'm auditioning and then not doing it. And she has passionately expressed that going FICOR is not a bad thing and the negativity surrounding it should be passe and claims that working actors on her roster are FICOR, blah, blah, blah. And then your commercial agent doesn't care if you go FICOR or stay SAG, but warns me not to be pressured by your manager about it. Because she is, you know, her number one priority is her and her wallet, which is fine and true. Your commercial agent, like, isn't she supposed to be helping you get theatrical auditions or meetings with theatrical agents? And then you wrote, I do kind of feel like I have two commercial agents. And you wrote, I know this feels similar to when I was putting myself out there with Peaceful Pets, but the emotions are much more intense with your acting career, of course, because your desire is more intense for that, which is fine. And you have some shame around not having any TV or kind of like known film credits or recognizable commercial bookings. And you feel like, oh, I don't have a leg to stand on. Why should I be asking for more? Especially because, you know, I should pay my dues and just take the lowest hanging fruit and just put it up a little bit. Okay. So you're trying to figure out if you're selling yourself short or just paying your dues kind of thing. Okay, so I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Was there a time earlier in your career where you didn't have anything and you were like, well, I guess I should just take this agent because, you know, or you did like, I guess I should just take this job because, or I guess I should just accept this pay because.
Yeah.
What would the you now say to the you then?
This is a good one, Christine. I would now, my now self would go back in time and tell my then self, like, you need to drop her ass. Don't stay loyal. You could have, but I didn't know what certain things at that time.
Of course.
I would tell myself then, like, figure out your branding and get new headshots, because that's what will help you break through. And that's what I've sort of like, okay, I'm going to go back to some marketing stuff. There's a marketing for reps course that I really been wanting to take, and updating my footage on my casting profile. So there's things I can do.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that means I should just fire her now.
Okay. So let's bring in Regina from the future. Regina, who has some SAG television credits under her belt, Regina, who's been in recognizable commercial spots. What would your future you say to your now you about this?
I don't. I don't know. That voice is so quiet right now. It is hard to hear it. But it's there. And I think that's what's telling me, like, even though I don't have these credits right now, doesn't mean I should put myself in situations that could, if something goes awry, that can become like a very unsafe situation,
mm-hmm.
with no recourse and nobody to protect me. Even though, and you know, this voice, I heard this like a week ago, but it was quiet and it got lost in the anxiety minutia maybe. But like, I think my manager's perspective is, oh, doing the non-union stuff, because it's quantity. And this is like about numbers and networking. And so the best way to network, I mean, and I do agree, the best way to network is booking a job and working with the director or production company or whatever. And however, isn't it scarcity mindset to think I have to put myself chance unsafe situations for super low, like low, so low paying commercial jobs that are almost like a week long pet sitting gig. Like it equals that. Like when that is starting to add up with my pet sitting money, I'm just, my rates, like, I think the numbers help kind of smack me in the common sense face. So I don't need to be scared that I won't have networking opportunities, because maybe that's where I'm coming from or where my manager's perspective is at.
Why is your manager not getting you union auditions, agent meetings? There's a three-word answer to this. Why is she not doing those?
I think she doesn't have those relationships, maybe.
Because she can't. Because if she could, she would. She's making more money.
Yeah.
She's in her comfort zone.
Yeah.
These are the connections I have. This is the part of the industry that I know well and have connections in. And if I find actors who are willing to work there, then why do I need to go anywhere else? If I'm making enough money, she doesn't sound very ambitious, because she wants to make some money, but she doesn't want to make more money. Because if she wanted to make more money, she herself would be like, I'm going to be a manager at this level. I'm going to try to attract this level of talent. And I'm trying to bring my talent up a level. That's not the manager you have. The manager you have is like, well, I'm cool with this, because yeah, I'd rather stay in my comfort zone for whatever reason. Maybe she has other obligations and this is just like, pays the rent and that's what she needs. Like, I'm not faulting her, but you need to also recognize who your manager is in relation to her own career. Because she's just being like, oh, you know, there's lots of stuff you can do here. You don't have to. It's like, but you are talented, Regina. You're in SAG. You know how many people are still trying to get in SAG? You're in SAG. You have a SAG commercial agent who's like, do whatever you want, but like, you know, I'm totally repping you right now. Like, you want to be working at a higher level. So you have to work with people who believe that's possible for you, but who also they themselves want to be working at another level if they're not already. Your reps have to have either all the connections already or the ambition to be getting more connections.
Okay, yeah.
So at one point, this may have been a fine match. When you're reaching out for people, that was the person who said yes, and that made you feel good. And this experience with this manager has given you insights and, you know, some knowledge and some wisdom and some perspective. That's great. But now that you have that knowledge and wisdom and perspective, and you've squeezed all the juice that you're probably going to get out of this orange, time to do it again. And the problem, and I know, God, I was an actor. Who wants to look for reps? We much would rather have them than look for them, because the rejection process is painful, but that's what keeps a lot of actors from moving forward faster. It's just, I don't want the discomfort, so I'm just going to stay.
But yeah.
So now, two things I want to say to you. When you were starting your side business with Peaceful Pets, and I was like, oh, we're not starting at this level. I want you, and I think you're capable of starting at this price point, at this level. You had to borrow courage to get yourself like, oh, yes, this is what I'm going to charge. You borrowed courage from somewhere or someone. So now with your acting career, I want you to borrow courage from your side business, your own side business. And go, whoa, I didn't ramp up. I just started at a certain level with Peaceful Pets. And if I could do that over here, I can just try and go for that over here. And what I mean by not ramping up, it's not wrong to say, okay, I have to kind of prove my worth to others in this industry, the acting industry. I have to, you know, show my value. I have to get some credits. But proving yourself to others is separate from having to prove yourself to yourself. I think any actor who gets anywhere in this town just decides that they are worth it. They can do it. It is possible for them. And even if nobody else believes it but you, you got to believe it. You got to believe it first. And you've got to believe it the most. And that's what fuels you through the discomfort of like, oh, trying to get another manager. Damn it. And maybe you won't for a while. Maybe it'll be your commercial, but you could get a commercial through your commercial agent that gives you some exposure that gets interest from, like, you don't know how this little spider web is going to be structured. And you can do networking without auditioning. If you want to network and meet, do it, you know, like there's so many ways.
Yeah.
But I don't want you to ever let someone else's lack of belief or ambition stop you. If you have more belief and ambition about yourself than they do about you, it's just not a good match anymore.
No.
In my opinion.
I don't know if it was ever a good match.
Who knows? Yeah. Well, if that's the case, you do not ever have to like criticize yourself for making the choice, because making a choice to try something is always better than staying too long. Once you know it's not good anymore, oh, the regret comes from, oh, I overstayed. I stayed too long. I should have left earlier. That's what I don't want you to feel. And then you really have to ask yourself, well, write a list. What have I got to lose? A little bit of money that I could make pet sitting. So I'll just ramp up the marketing for the pet sitting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, what have I got to lose? Look at that little list. It'll be a short list. And then go, okay, well, what are other ways I can get all of those things?
I was thinking maybe I need to wait to fire her till I get there's some money on its way.
Oh yeah. Wait, you can wait for the money.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. How long do you think?
It should be like a couple of months at the least, I think. Yeah.
A couple of months. Oh, non-union. This is why we have unions.
Yeah.
Right. Well, she's legally bound to give you that money.
Yeah.
I thought if it was like a week or two.
No,
I would. Here's the deal. You don't have to leave. If you are like, maybe I would want to stay for the money. She's not holding you back from anything.
No,
because. But you don't want to be going on non-union.
I already told her. You just
say to her, yeah. So that's off the board.
Yeah.
And if she calls with them, you just go, you can ignore the calls, frankly. It's like, no, we're not. And if she's like, you didn't respond, I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing those. So I didn't think I questioned why you called. So she'll either drop you or she'll just do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually free to do whatever you want to do. You're free to take all the meetings you want. You're free to network in all the ways that you want. You're free. And the only thing really is that if you make money during the time that you're still with her, you also owe her that money.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to make a break so that any money you earn, you get to keep. Fiscally, that might actually put you in a better position, even if for whatever reason, she never gives you the other money, which by the way is illegal.
Yeah.
But let's say she really tries to stiff you. You not paying her commission for any jobs you get in the meantime might be a wash, might put you ahead. So that's also another way to think about it.
Okay.
But this is about you doing business. It's about you being in this to be a working SAG actor.
Yeah.
And this is about the long game of the decades that you have ahead of you. Like, people are going to come in and come out. You might have a next manager might be fabulous, and then something happens in their life and they can no longer do it, or they change as a person. Like, all of this is fluid.
Yeah.
It's just all fluid. And the better you get at doing business and making clean breaks and moving on to the next person and going through discomfort, the more successful you likely will be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear your voice. I am anyone who can do what you do with animals and their pet parents and their spaces is in touch with her inner voice. You just have to really, really, really listen for it.
Yeah.
Because our inner voices don't talk in paragraphs. They talk in very short sentences and they talk quietly. It's our minds that talk in paragraphs and scream and yell. Our inner voices are like, hey, do this. And you're like, oh man, how can three words make me feel so flustered? Like, it's crazy. Yeah.
I think I've been having such a hard time with this decision because I think I got red flags right away. And like, she's someone who, like, every question I asked, she would like shoot it down with such passion behind it and conviction, and always has made me feel like I have no experience and I don't know anything of like what's going on, and that, like, you know, things are different now and la 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 la. And I think, yeah, I just, maybe part of me has been dragging my feet to come to this moment now. Like, I got duped. I let myself be duped because I really, really, really wanted to have a rep at the time. Because yeah. I started working with her before I started working with my commercial agent. So,
Yeah. So the way, when you make an error in judgment, the way you neutralize that energetically and emotionally for yourself, you go, okay, I'm not going to make that mistake again.
Mm-hmm.
The way you don't make that mistake again is that you're like, I'm going to deal with the first red flag. It doesn't mean you fire her over the first red flag, but you deal with the first red flag. Like, my conversations with her always end up with me feeling bad. Is that what I want from the people representing me out in the world, or anyone I even interact with in the world? Me feeling bad and stupid? No. Not your right person. Your right person is going to be like, ooh, good question. Let me explain this. Like, here's what I think. And here's what I, like, they're going to make you feel like you're working together. They're going to love your right person is going to love your questions. They're going to love your curiosity. They're going to love the fact that you know, bring your anxious thoughts and they're like, okay, not a problem. Don't worry about it. They're going to love it all because they're going to like you and they're going to understand that all of that is a part of you and you're learning. That's your right person.
Okay. That's so helpful.
Yeah. So personal policy, I deal with the first red flag and then they go on mental probation. And then we deal with the second red flag and the third red flag, no more than three. You can leave it two, but like no more than three for any relationship in your life. Life's too short.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you deserve the same kindness that you give to others. You deserve to be treated the way you treat your Peaceful Pets clients. Just Just make that your standard.
Okay.
Just tell the universe, okay, look, I am even willing to wait for my next manager mm-hmm. longer than I'd like. I'd like it tomorrow, but I'm willing to wait longer, universe, but I'm only interested in my right people. Declare it, demand it, ask it, be like, that's on your to-do list, universe. So get to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And the way you attract your right people and the way you network and meet people in this industry is when you're enjoying yourself.
Mm.
Ah, the happier you are and the more like, ooh, I'm doing my thing. It doesn't matter that I haven't had theatrical auditions. They are coming. Your TV credits are coming. The role is being thought of right now that is going to fit you like a glove. And people are like, who is she? Where have you been? You just walked in here and we had to rewrite the role to make it you because we just fell in love with you. That is, by the way, going to happen to you for sure. Mm-hmm. Someone's going to be like, oh, I need this. So let me write for her. Yeah. You've got to wake up and be like, that's possible. That's the career I want. That's what I want. And then you set your bar for yourself. I've walked away from so many things that have been so painful that looked like opportunities on paper.
Right. It just
didn't work. It wasn't working. Yeah, it's hard.
It's interesting because I have been getting those good experiences through people I've known for a long time now. An old friend came out of the woodwork and had me audition for a short film she wrote, and she cast me, and then she like rewrote it, Christine. You fit me better.
Genius. So I'm a genius.
You are. So it's already happening. I think just the fact that, you know, it's not on the Hollywood paper looking like that, you know, yet, but.
What if that was the story? It will change your life mm-hmm. if the story you're telling yourself is my career is actually happening. It's happening. Instead of, oh, I can't wait for it to happen. Because that story, the goalposts will always be moving. Always. Well, I got this credit, but it's not a network show. Well, it's only on Netflix and buried in the lineup. Like, it'll never be. But if the story you're telling yourself is, oh my God, my career is happening, then everything that happens is proof that it's happening.
Mm.
It's not, oh, but it's only this thing. It's like, no, total proof that it's happening. I got to this thing. I got to this thing. I got an audition for this. I was pinned for that. This career is happening. And that shift in your energy is what then like, people are like, someone's having fun. Someone's not like crazy. Which means someone has enough space in which to put the character that we need her to play. Actors who walk in the audition room full of their own life and drama, there's no space for them to put the work.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I want actors to have a side business so the money's taken care of and believe that their career is happening, because then they walk into an audition room and they're ready to play. They're empty. They're like, pour whatever you want me to do into me. I'll take that direction. I'll do that. I'll have fun. Yeah. These were good questions. And this is all about mindset and building these business muscles.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Evan, you've been so lovely with your little cheers and hearts and hands and applause. I love it, love it, love it. And Regina had a victory. She dropped off a few of her postcards at this place. And she's like, oh, that was just like running an errand. It wasn't the big deal. Like, oh my God, I'm placing my postcards. Yeah, no, just an errand. Yeah. Get that energy. And the more you can bring that energy into your career too, like, oh, I'm doing this drop off. I'm doing this thing. It's just an errand, just an errand, just an errand, just an errand. Doesn't matter. My day doesn't rely on this because my side business is happening and my career is happening. And it's so exciting.
Yes.
Yes. Awesome. Thank you very much. Evan, did you have anything you wanted to talk about?
Nothing specific today. I do want to thank Virginia for bringing up those questions, because that's, I took a lot of notes, especially on, because I'm reaching the point in my acting career where I'll need to start looking for representation at some point this year down the line. So hearing all that definitely helped. And I'm going to take that forward as I look toward that part of my career for sure. So thank you, Regina.
Welcome.
Let's see, side biz wise, things are chugging along with my client. I'm doing the work. Evaluating the size of the project might be a bit bigger than I thought, but that's okay. Like, I'm learning as I go along. A victory that hopefully won't be a hurdle later on is that I've realized I had a lesson learned in my contract. I looked back at it and realized that one of the milestones for payment is based on something that the client does rather than on something that I do. I'm going to keep that in mind for sure next time, rather than requesting payment after they approve the document I send them. I'm going to request for payment the moment I submit it to them for review, and they'll pay me because they have the thing now, and then we'll still go through the review process, but
right.
The payment is for the submittal of the thing, not the end approval of the thing, which they may take a week to approve it, or they may take a month, and that's not set in stone. So that was a victory in that it was a lesson learned. So,
oh, such a good, I'm glad you shared that just so everybody could hear that. It's one of those little tiny things that is easy to miss. And should you be in contract negotiations and someone's like, well, why is it based on you submitting the thing? You can just tell them, because I have to plot and plan, you know, for, I have to balance the things I'm doing for clients to maintain a flow of income. And if I have to wait, not because of my speed, but a company speed, which can vary due to variables that we can't even predict, because there's just more people involved on your side than there are on my side. Mm-hmm. That's how it needs to be. So you would just explain it exactly how you just explained that to us.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Cool, cool. So good. Do you have a voiceover demo?
I am on my, I produced my demo. I had my recording session at the beginning of the month, and my coach is producing it now. So like sometime next week or the week after, I should get the product back for me to review. And then I can either be like, yes, this is exactly what I want, or I can send it back to them with comments like, hey, can we fix this? Because the way he works is like, the demo's not done until I'm happy with it. So it's not like, here you go, deal with it, yeah. Take it. So
oh, good, good.
I'm really thankful for that. So demos are on their way, and I'm also, on the voiceover side, looking into like the business structure on that side. I'm going to talk to a lawyer tomorrow to see what business structure I need at this point in time, to make sure I have everything for taxes all squared away and I don't get into any legal hurdles or things that bite me. Looking into Wix for website stuff just as a temporary measure until I... Mm-hmm. Can budget a better website and stuff like that. So
this is so exciting. So when your demo is done and you're totally happy with it, I would love for you to share it with us in the cash flow section of the Abundance Bound.
Okay.
I mean, you can share it in the, you are welcome to share it in the open forum if you want to too, with the message of, I just wanted to share my new voiceover demo because this is what I'm doing all of this work here in cash flow and Abundance Bound for.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is me sharing what I'm doing all of this hard work for. And I think that's really important. And it lets people hear you so they can file you away in their head.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will do that. I made a note.
Awesome. So. And you are welcome to bring, you know, once you have your demo and you feel, you know, like, okay, we can talk about strategy for that side of your biz as well.
Okay. For that would be awesome.
It's business strategy. It's just your creative business. And all of the advice is applicable to any business.
Right.
Yeah.
Google. Thank you, Christine.
You're very welcome. Okay, guys. Is that it? Do we feel complete for today? Any other questions? Okay, Karen, I love the heart. You guys, so good to see you. It was like 2 weeks. I totally was jonesing to get back on one of these calls. So go be your wonderful selves. And I'll be here next Monday if you have more questions. Okay, take care. Bye,
guys. Hi, thank you, Christine.
Thank you so much.
Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye, Karen.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Evan.